mothers. Not seven. I discovered an eighth one. So let's see. Shall we chant a little bit?
Yes.
Especially the children. Let's give a big hearty ball to the children. Jaya Radha, Madhava, Nitya Bihari.
Jaya Radha, Madhava, Nitya
Bihari. Jaya Radha, Madhava, Nitya Bihari.
Jaya Radha, Madhava, Nitya Bihari.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, I just thought of a ninth mother. So this is interesting. So let's do the standard seven first. There is a verse Prabhupada quotes in the seventh or eighth canto. So the first mother is Atma Mata. Everyone say?
Atma Mata.
That's your birth mother, the one that gave you birth. So according to the Bhagavad Gita, we are supposed to worship, actually, the translation, worship superiors like the father and mother. So you children, how do you worship your mother? You worship her by your obedience. Obedience means, in case you don't know what that word means, obedience means you do what she tells you. Now, let's look at Lord Ramachandra on the altar. Ramachandra was the first class son. Why? Because even before his father would ask, the answer was yes. Now, I wonder if any of you children can be like that with your mother. That before she even asked, the answer is yes, mother. Yes, Mata. Something to think about. Okay? Because I say this to children all over the world. How many of you children want Krishna's blessings? So how can you expect Krishna's blessings if you don't follow his instructions? Correct? Does that make sense to children? So I just pointed out from the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we are to worship superiors like the father and mother. So if you want Krishna's mercy, you have to do what mommy says, even if you don't like it. That's the hard part. If mommy says, come, I have ice cream, oh, that's easy to do. But if mommy says, no, I want you to help me with the dishes, or I want you to clean your room, or brush your teeth, or do your homework, that's it. Oh, so you are all Prahlads, huh? You're all obedient. Right. Mothers, are they that good? Huh? Good. Oh, thank you. All right. I offer you my obeisances. So, the birth mother, why is she to be respected? Because when you were in the womb of your mother, she was the one feeding you. Her, whatever she was eating, you were getting those remnants. And when you are born, the first food is the milk from your mother. So, without mother, you can't grow up to be a wonderful person like me. You have to have a good mother. And mothers are so wonderful because, as I said the other day, which is worth repeating, that she is your best well-wishing friend. At this stage, she is your best well-wishing friend. She wants only to see you grow up to be happy, healthy, and holy. Three H's. What are they?
Happy, healthy, and holy.
Oh, baby, these children are good. I'll have to brag about you when I travel the world that the Tawako kids are the best. Don't get bumped up. So the mother, she is how we come to life, how we exist, how we live. We see in Krishna book how Krishna drinks the milk from his mother. So the mother's position is very, very special. Then the next one, Guru Patni. Everybody say?
Guru Patni.
Wife of the teacher or spiritual master. She is also to be respected as a mother. Then we have the next one, Brahmani. Everybody say?
Brahmani.
The wife of a Brahmana. So in this temple, we have many Brahmanas and Brahmanis. So they are also to be respected and obeyed. Now the next one, we don't have anymore. They got phased out. Raja Patnika. Everybody say?
Raja Patnika.
The king's wife or the queen mother. So we don't have any more kings anymore. We have presidents and dictators. So I don't think anybody's going to sing Michelle Obama, she's queen mother. I mean, I like her, but I can't say that she should be. Well, you can respect her. I respect her, but king, he's not a king. No. So don't worry about this one. Now, the next one is muy importante. Yes, that's an Espanol. Everybody say Venu. That wasn't everybody. This is not just for the kids. You're all kids. Everybody say Venu. That's good. Venu means cow. Holy cow. She is also mother, and this is how Prabhupada would preach. So we started out. The mother gives you the first food, her milk, right? But after the mother stops giving you milk, now who gives you milk? Mother cow. And we know, on our altar we have Lord Chaitanya. When he was preaching to Chand Kazi, he told Chand Kazi that anyone who kills a cow, as many hairs there are on that cow, that's how many lifetimes one has to live in hell. And think, that's just for one cow. What to speak of? People are eating thousands of cows throughout their lifetime. So Lord Chaitanya was pointing this out to Chand Kazi, that this is a serious matter. It is not a joke when we say holy cow. The Westerners or the people outside of Vedic culture, they think it's a joke. They think it's some fairy tale, some folklore, holy cow. No, we're not fooling around. Some of you might have seen the picture. All the devatas, all the demigods reside in the body of the cow. And Prabhupada preaches, human civilization begins with this cow protection. If there's no cow protection, it is subhuman, barbaric. So our movement, this Hare Krishna movement, that's one of our first commandments. Don't harm mother cow. And that was another argument that Lord Chaitanya gave Chand Kazi. He said, in your Muslim religion, you are eating cow and bull, but the bull tills the land. And by tilling the land, what do you get? Grains. And by that grains, you grow healthy. That's why you're a codicil. You're like, because you didn't have your grains. Grains gives you that strength. So the bull is tilling the land, so you get the grains. So he is feeding you. Therefore, he is considered father, Lord Chaitanya said. father bull. And then Lord Chaitanya said, and you are killing cows, and cows give you the miracle food, milk. When I was growing up, before coming to Krishna consciousness, in the 50s and the 60s, it was regularly on the television, yes, I used to watch television, that milk is the miracle food. And when you read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, very early he says, milk is liquid religion. What does that mean? That means that we are trying to understand this transcendental subject matter of Krishna consciousness. It's not mundane. This is transcendental subject matter. In order to understand this kind of subject matter, you need a good brain. You need what is called fine brain tissues. Now, when you eat the cow, those fine brain tissues get destroyed. And that prevents you from understanding Bhagavad Gita and transcendental subject matter. But when you drink liquid religion in the form of milk, that nourishes the finer brain tissues, now you can understand transcendental subject matter. It's a science. Prabhupada explains everything very nicely in his books. I've been reading Prabhupada's books since 1972. And still, every day I read them, there's something new that I didn't see a year ago. And even though I'm reading every year, I go through Bhagavad Gita. So I've read it so many times. And every time, sure enough, there's some, oh, that wasn't there before. No, they didn't add it. It's just that now you see it, and it's making an impression on you. So, milk, oh, what was that slogan they used to always say? It does a body good. They used to use that slogan. It does a body good. Yes. So the cow, and I mentioned this the other day in a morning class, one of the first things I learned from Prabhupada. Prabhupada was preaching once that it is so essential that food is cooked in my favorite thing, ghee. As I've mentioned, my wife, I've been married to her 35 wonderful years, and she has never cooked me anything unless it's in ghee and butter. Happy wife means happy life. Happy husband means ghee and butter. So, but why do I stress this? Because very early I heard from Prabhupada. He said that the meat eaters, I used to be, that they want that, why do they like that cow flesh? Because they want that blood of the cow. Like even in these fancy restaurants, they'll ask the person, do you want it rare, medium, or bloody? So, that they want the blood of the cow. But Prabhupada says, but they don't know, the cow is already giving you its blood in the form of milk. The cow is already giving you, what does the cow take from you? Some grass? Such a simple, honest, pure animal, all it wants out of life is, can I just have some grass? In the farm, ISKCON farm in Australia, they feed the cow the leftover, unused prasadam. I saw it. Because in our ISKCON farm in Australia, We have a big farm. We have many cows. And a certain time of the day, the devotee comes in his truck to the fence, and he dumps all the stale leftover prasadam. The cows know, oh, Prabhu has come. They come and they eat. I saw it with my own eyes. I also learned something I never knew before. One morning, my friend who sponsored my trip, Damodar Pandit, he said, come with me. So there's this one devotee, my godbrother, Venu Gopal, and he's just like a Gopal. He takes care of the cows right away in the morning, because cows need lots of attention. So I had my japa beads and we're walking in the mud, and there's these two calves. So I'm chanting japa to the calves, and then they told me, oh, the calves like it when you scratch their neck. So really? Because I was like patting the head. I thought I was being cool. He said, no, no, they like when you scratch the neck. So I'm chanting japa and I'm scratching the neck. Then the other one comes over and he wants to be scratched. So when I stop scratching the first one, they got jealous, so he's butting me with his head. He's like, come on, me too. So I had to stop chanting. I was like, scratching both neck. But it's so beautiful. It's such I can still remember it. And you know, when he butts you with his head, it's a butt. It's like, whoa. It's just a little cat, but he's strong. And it don't fool around. Come on, scratch. What do you think you came here for? That's basically what they're saying. Come on, scratch me. So I spent the whole japa period scratching. I didn't go back any more days. I can't be spending my japa period scratching cats. But it was such a nice experience. And I don't like dogs. Don't hate me. I don't like dogs because when I was 5 years old, I got bit by one. So after that, I said, no dogs. And cats are too, puffed up, you know. But I like cows and elephants. One time, there was a period in the Los Angeles temple, Rathi Yatra. They would have elephants, and you would pay some money and go on an elephant ride. So I did it once. That is the ride. Has anyone ever rode on an elephant?
No.
You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like you're 20 stories high. It's like, wow, I want to be a Maharaja. This is great. But they had to stop doing it because the insurance is like astronomical. Damn insurance people. Anybody in insurance agent? Watch it come. But how's the insurance here? Is it skyrocketing all the time? I can't understand it. I have no tickets, no accident, and every year the rates go up. State Farm. What's with that? Anyway, cows are the most peaceful. You know, there's a statement. Prabhupada mentions this. Krishna just sent me a text message. Thank you, Krishna. That Prabhupada says, right, there's three modes of nature. What are they? What are the three modes of nature?
Healthy.
No, that's the three natures. The three modes of nature. Molary, curly? No. What are the three modes of nature?
Tamaguna, sattaguna.
How about English? Yes.
More of goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Okay, so Prabhupada writes that your last animal birth before coming back to human, if you are going to take birth as a human in the mode of ignorance, what animal is your last animal birth? Who knows? What's that?
Monkey.
Man?
Dog.
Monkey.
Monkey. So if you're going to take birth as a human in the mode of ignorance, you're a monkey. And in the mode of passion, what animal?
Lion.
Yeah, my inner tiger. And if you're going to take birth in the mode of goodness,
oh, wow.
So, they're just wonderful. They're just the best. And what is God's favorite plant?
Tulsi.
What's God's favorite bird?
Garuda.
Peacock. Right? What does he have in his head?
Peacock feather.
Exactly. Give me five. All right. Okay. What is Krishna's favorite musical instrument?
Flute.
Very good. These kids know. What is Krishna's favorite animal?
Cow.
Yes. So I ought to preach to the Westerners. Don't mess with God's favorite animal. Okay? Don't mess. You're messing and you're barking up the wrong tree. And even it is there in the Vedas. If you have to eat meat, okay, once in a month, dark moon night, you have to kill it yourself, some goat or something like that, but not special dispensation, hands off, don't back away from the cow. The cow should be, okay, on the day of Govardhan Leela, what did Krishna say? Krishna told his father, let's not worship Indra, let's worship Govardhan Hill, the Brahmins and the
cow.
So they were worshiping. They actually dressed them and painted things like we ladies do the gopi dots. My wife used to always do that on festival day, the gopi dots. Do you guys do that? Gopi dots? I don't know who's got gopi dots today. Today's Mother's Day. Come on. Where's your gopi dots? So, cow, they dressed, they gold plated, they were worshiping the cows. Everything in Krishna's land. What is Krishna's name? Gopal. What is, this is interesting. Even God has a job. So don't complain that you have to go to work because even Krishna goes to work. There's this book, Govinda Lilamrita, and after breakfast, Krishna tells his parents, okay, now I have to go out and take care of all the calves. And Yashoda and Nandara say, no, why don't you stay back? Krishna says, no, I have to do my dharma. If I don't go and take care of the calves, that's not going to be good. Of course, Krishna has some ulterior motives also. But he does say that I have to do my job. That's his job. From the age of five, they were taking care of the calves, right? Yeah. Krishna and his cow, from the age of five, they're given charge of the calves. And then when they get older, they get charge of the cows. So, even God himself goes to work. But his work is in the spiritual world, and it's with the cows. Such a beautiful creation. What a one. And so when Indra came down from his planet and had to beg forgiveness for his nonsense, who came with him? Surabhi, transcendental cow, came with him. And Indra had his elephant named
Aramaka.
Very intelligent boy. And they did Abhishek. So Indra, elephant, had what? What kind of Ganga Jal was in the trunk of the elephant? So they did Ganga Snan, and then obviously the Surabhi cow bathed Krishna with
milk.
And then at that time, Krishna was awarded the name
Govinda.
Only you know that? What's that name?
Govinda!
Alright. So, I have a special song. I'm not done, but since somehow or other that name has been introduced, I want to sing my song, Govinda. Where is my Pujari friend, Padma? Where is he? He said he would be here. Where is... Ah, you're back there? Nice. But Mudra Krishna Das. He's my best friend in the world. We have nice philosophical talks. All right. Now, you would play drum for me? I'd be so happy. What benediction would you like? Since you end your service, I have to give you a benediction. You name it. The sky's the limit. I'm in a good mood.
Give her my allergies.
Oh! May you never suffer allergies again. So, this is a song I wrote. Now, where did it go? There are these three miseries. What are the three miseries? Anybody know? Adiatmic, Adibhotic, Adidaivic. So Adiatmic is what? What is Adiatmic? Your own body and mind. What is Adibhotic?
Another living entity.
Yes, your boss. Or it could be your husband or wife. And what is Adidaivic?
Mother
Nature. Like they realized that in Nepal, didn't they? And California's next, not Concord. But I say there are two more miseries. I have discovered them. Adi-technic. We're so attached to our technology that when it's not there, we freak out. What? No cell phone usage? I can't check my Facebook updates. Adi, or if the computer goes, a lot of you have computer jobs, right? If the power goes down or there's a glitch, you're not a happy camper. And the fifth one, airplanes, which I have to go on tomorrow. That's what I call the fifth, especially when you have to fly 19 hours. Yeah. So on this song, I would require your accompaniment. Thank you very much. Now, it's really hard. So, you have to say two words. Govinda.
Govinda.
And the tune is... Govinda.
Govinda.
All right, now, this song is one of my best songs. And you're only going to sing Govinda when I'll do something to look at you, mate. Okay? But if I don't go like this, don't sing. Because you're going to feel like singing, but it's not, don't sing. Only when I go, okay? You have my son, okay? You're going to like it. This is a proven winner. And let's see what the New Jersey version comes out. Because when I do my songs, you never do it the same way twice. So, there you are, Padma. Okay? Yes, who's playing cartels? You can play louder.
Radharani, Srimati
Okay, that's another one, but we're getting more. Now we're up to what, 11? No. Anybody, one more track. What is the eighth mother? Vedas. And here's why I say, listen to Prabhupada. I don't make these things up. Okay? Listen to what Prabhupada. We all know who Prabhupada is, right?
Yes.
Is he here in the temple?
Yes.
Where is he?
Right
here. Is he watching us?
Yes.
He knows where you are. Okay. Pay attention. Sit, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, the Vedas are called Veda Mata, or Mother Vedas. You're not paying attention. I'll have to give you detention. Pay attention. Okay. Mother Vedas, because the knowledge imparted therein is like that knowledge received from the mother. We have to believe it in order to acquire knowledge. There is no possibility of acquiring transcendental knowledge by experimenting with our own imperfect senses. One birth is by the father and mother, and the second birth is by the spiritual father and the Vedic knowledge. This is second birth, initiation. The spiritual father or spiritual master gives the second birth through the mother, Vedas. Therefore, such persons are called Dvija, twice born. So just like you have a father and a mother, when you take initiation, your father is your spiritual master and your mother is the Vedic literatures. And I mentioned in the previous class, Prabhupada says in ISKCON, we stress four Vedic literatures. What's the first one? Nobody knows? Bhagavad Gita. How come the kids know and you don't know? Hey. So what's the first book? That's better. Second? Srimad Bhagavatam. Third? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Fourth? Nectar of Devotion. I hope you're all reading these regularly. Don't neglect your mother. Don't neglect your mother. Read Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam. Okay? Don't neglect your mother. Now there's a verse. This verse is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Lord Chaitanya when he's instructing Sanatana Goswami. And the context is when the great sages are speaking to the Lord. When Mother Vedas or Shruti is questioned as to whom to worship, she says that you are the only Lord and worshipable object. Similarly, the corollaries of the Shruti Shastras, known as the Smriti Shastras, give the same instruction, just like sisters. And the Puranas, which are like brothers, follow in the footsteps of their mother. O enemy of the demon Mura. So that's a name for Krishna. You can say Murari. Alright? Okay? So, O enemy of the demon Mura, the conclusion is that you are the only shelter. And now I have understood the truth. Be careful. Okay. So you all mentioned other mothers. The other mother that I was thinking of, my ninth mother, is Chandaka Pandit says that aside from your wife, all women are to be seen as mother. And in this way, we'll be happy in Krishna consciousness, we'll be pure, and I ended with 2 minutes to go. Did you have a good, was it nice? Did you enjoy?
Yeah.
Kids, you like it?
Yeah.
You like it? So, what did you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
He said, it's good that I like you. Come here. What is your name? Krish? Wow. What happened to the nut? You got cheated. Krish. Okay. So you want a blessing? How much are you willing to pay for it? No, my blessings are free. All right, close your eyes. Cut your hands over your heart. Flip your heels. No, we're not going to do that. Okay. Be serious. Close your eyes. All right. Now I'll give you a blessing. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless all these wonderful devotees of this Dhammapada. And please remove in their lives all the unnecessary things that entangle them, that keep them from loving you and seeing you more and more in their hearts. And please, may they live together as one big family, helping and serving each other. And my Lord, give them the intelligence and the strength so that they can build their nice temple for you. My dear Lord, please bless them, protect them, and maintain them. Now open your eyes, raise your hands, repeat after me, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!